Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton. John Osher. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
We're playing with your mind today, folks. Drive Time going from morning to afternoon as the Jaguars come home from Arizona. And we'll be honest with you, we wanted to get about an hour and a half of sleep. So here we are this afternoon, wrapping up yesterday with big things in Ashlyn Sullivan. But before we get there, John Osher is here, fresh off the flight, sitting behind me the whole way, chatty Cathy. At one point, you're giving it to Brent Martineau about eating cheesecake at 12:30, and I couldn't help but just laugh.
Well, that's a good way to find fat ball season, cheesecake. I said to him, I said, would you ever be eating that piece of cheesecake if you're sitting home at your house? He was like, no,
not at all.
That's what the road does to a man.
It does, and Jaguars go west. They come home with the loss to the Cardinals, and we've got plenty to talk about. So let's get started with big things. And Ashlyn Sullivan joins us, fresh off the Thanksgiving holiday in Cocoa Beach with her family. How are you? Are you glad to be back or what?
I'm glad to be back. Ready for it to be again.
You missed Drive Time.
I did.
You were here early this morning waiting for this.
I thought John had such a good time multitasking.
Here we go. All right. So what you got big thing for us?
Big thing number one, AFC South, and how entertaining it has been, but it could be a little more entertaining with that Titans and Colts matchup yesterday. But I know it's been much more entertaining this year than it has been in past seasons. Now the Jags are in a dead place, first tie with the Titans yet again.
And that's really the interesting part about this. Mm-hmm. There was a moment yesterday, John, where you thought, all right, the Colts are going to upset the Titans, and the Jaguars could come away with a win here. They could be two games up with five games left to play. The worst-case scenario is you're tied and a half a game behind. That's what played out, and that really is the way it's probably going to go the rest of the way. These two teams in a dead heat to Week 17.
And this is what it's supposed to be. And this is, you know, I was on the radio this morning and saying this is a painful to lose the way the Jaguars did. But it's also, this is the pain that you want as a fan, because this is what it's like to be in it. You're watching the TV yesterday and you're thinking we're going to be up by two games, and all of a sudden you blink and you're tied, but you're still in it. And the same thing could happen next week. You could be back up by a game. You could be down by a game. But it does feel like it's going to be this way for the last five games. I wrote in what we learned for Jaguars.com. It looks like it's going to come down to the final game. But hasn't it felt that way all along?
It does.
Even when you were a game up, even if you've been two games up, it still feels like somehow these two teams are going to play for it in Nashville.
Well, the thing is, even if you're two games up, you're still looking at the Titans to see what they're doing. You can't take your eye off what Mike Mularkey's team is doing.
But it's been a long time since this has been what November is.
Well, I got on the phone yesterday after the game with one of my boys who was on the verge of tears. His team had lost.
Right.
And he was, did you see the rating for this game, by the way? Ashton, did you see the rating for this game?
I did. It was a big one.
Oh, 28.7. Yeah. It was monstrous. People were into this. But the thing I couldn't help thinking was, for the Jaguars, you don't ever want to lose a game. But it showed the passion that's back, the interest level that's back. Every kid in my kid's class was probably today bummed out this morning because their team lost on a 57-yard field goal. It was heartbreak.
Yep.
It was heartbreak for those kids that were watching it, and heartbreak is good for NFL teams.
I believe it was the great Vic Ketchman back in the 90s who, as I was learning the league, heard him say once, it doesn't really matter until it hurts to lose.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing.
No, you got that right.
And it's back to the point now where it hurts to lose, and that's a good thing.
And when you look at the Titans' schedule, next week they get the Texans at home, and Marcus Mariota's not playing very well.
No.
So that one could go either way. Although the Texans, you know, we'll see what they have tonight with Tom Savage.
Right now, frankly, it feels like you've got two teams in the Titans and the Jaguars who are making enough mistakes offensively each week.
Well, look, the Colts almost
topple them
each
time.
Yeah, the Colts almost
topple them.
And
that's going to be dicey coming down the stretch for both teams. Whichever one makes the fewest mistakes probably wins this thing.
And then I'm sure the Titans are talking about going to Arizona and getting a win, but all of a sudden, you know, Arizona's not an out.
Right.
Not an easy out for anyone. They still have the Rams and the Jaguars. So the schedule, I think, is still favorable for this team because they have the Colts and Texans left, whereas the Cardinals have the Texans and the Rams and the Cardinals and the Jaguars. I think, again, you could win any you could lose, any the way that it's all set up with the way that the teams are playing. But I still think the schedule favors the Jaguars.
I thought going into these last 6 weeks, they had a couple of games that were going to be really tough. Seahawks and the Titans at the end because you're going up there. But they had three that looks like they're very winnable, meaning the Colts at the Niners and the Texans here because of the quarterback situation. And I thought yesterday was going to be dicey because you're going two time zones west. You're playing a team that's 4-6, still in it, starting a three-game home swing. But now, guess what? Those three that I call very winnable, better win them.
You know, it feels at this point that you could see the Titans in Week 17, and you could see them in the first round of the playoffs, too.
Sure.
Kind of feels like the Pittsburgh thing, which was separated by a couple of weeks back in 2007. But it seems like these two teams are so joined at the hip, they may be playing in Jacksonville, they may be playing in Nashville, but they'll be playing in back-to-back weeks.
And you can say all you want, well, that's bad because it was a blowout victory for the Texans, for the Titans in week two. But the Jaguars handled this team last year on Christmas Eve, remember? I think it's a good matchup. I don't think it's a great matchup for the Jaguars, looking way ahead of the Titans. I don't think it's a great matchup for them because I like the Titans' offensive line to be able to.
Yeah, but they couldn't run yesterday.
Right.
Boy, they couldn't run at all.
It's certainly a game that can go either way when these two teams play.
All right, we've got more big things, more Ashlyn Sullivan, Ozone Snapshot, Jags primetime moving to afternoon drive here on a Monday following a trip out west to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Jags fall, obviously, 27-24, and we take a quick 60-second pause and come back and dive further into Sunday's game in Arizona. Back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Jags Drive Time on a Monday afternoon. We'll be back Friday morning with you. Doug Marone joins us for that one. But today we figured we'd sleep in a little bit and come to you in the afternoon. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. You know, John, it didn't feel like a terrible loss. I mean, a 57-yard field goal with 1 second left, that isn't fun. But when you look around the league, you see that last year's NFC champions, the Atlanta Falcons, are sitting at, well, they're 7-4. Mm-hmm. The Seattle Seahawks, perennial strong man team in the NFC, sitting at 7-4. And behind the Steelers and the Patriots, 7-4 is the best record in the AFC. Not a whole lot to complain about today.
You're right in it. What hurts is that you had won four in a row, you had a chance to keep momentum, and you had this chance to get to, I would have been 8-3. And then you're 5-up, and then you really feel like you've got the wild card all but clinched. Now you're back into it where once you let it all shake out and you look at it and say, okay, well, yeah, there's still a game up in the wild card. This is still fine. But once you get to this point in the season, every loss has this, oh, boy, what could have been, especially when it's right there. And especially in the fashion – I thought this game was remarkable yesterday in that for the second time this season – the Jaguars did something that is incredibly hard to do in the National Football League, which is to come back on a team with mostly defense. I mean, they did it against the Jets. Remember, they're 10 points down, and Miles Jack gets the return. And you're like, boy, they just got back in it with a defensive touchdown. Never happens because the offense is playing in such a way that it's hard to do. Did it again yesterday. Came from behind. Got go-ahead points with a defensive touchdown. You don't usually see it happen once in a season, much less twice. Had this incredibly gutty effort from Blake Bortles, and you really thought, boy, they're going to gut one out that they probably on paper didn't deserve, and it just went by the wayside.
So let's go back and talk about the quarterback. And Ashlyn's got big thing number two for us, and it really focuses on him, Ashlyn.
It does. Blake Bortles, the man under center yesterday, two rushing touchdowns. However, he only threw for 160 yards while Blaine Gabbert threw for 241. Now, you can throw the offensive Blaine and the ineffectiveness of it around, but guys, what I'm really looking at after yesterday is the drop balls. Keelan Cole, multiple times, two hands on the ball and didn't come up with it. And Brian, we talked about Marquise Lee makes that catch at the end of the game and you're going into overtime.
If he does. If he catches that ball, all of a sudden you probably have a first down. But at the very least, the clock keeps running. You force Bruce Arians to use it then. You run on third down and it's over.
And that's not supposed to be too much to ask. That's the problem, right?
It was a very catchable ball. Mm-hmm. And Marquise has dropped that pass a half a dozen times this year.
Yep.
The easy coming across, he takes his eyes off. You could see it. The sideline was open to him to get the first down and to get out of bounds if he wanted to do
and
that.
And maybe get big first down.
Which would have set up a chance to take a shot for maybe setting up a field goal. That's what he does. He's looking down the field. It's not that he doesn't have good hands. It's that he doesn't have good concentration in the moment.
You get the idea, maybe trying to, it's a role he hasn't played before, this number one guy. And when you talk to coaches about him, they talk about the unbelievable effort, the unbelievable energy he's bringing.
Teammates love him.
But, too many drops yesterday had killed. But overall, to Ashlyn's point, yesterday had a chance for not to be a great passing day for Blake Bortles, but to be an incredibly gutty I don't want to say storybook win, but it had that feel of this is going to be a come-from-behind win that you can really pin on him, and then the interception.
Yeah.
And I get that, but what a gutty effort until then from Blake, and just too bad the day had to be defined by this.
Yeah, but people are going to force that issue and define it. But, they wouldn't have even been in a chance to go for a game-winning field goal late in the game if he hadn't done it with his legs.
Absolutely.
If he hadn't kept that football team in it, he got pounded yesterday. Yeah, they only had three sacks. He took hit after hit. If I had one of his teammates, I had five of them say, you realize how tough that guy is?
And that's becoming a theme that's hard to ignore. Never missed a start.
No. And people aren't giving him enough credit, and they're going to that. They wanted to point out the interception, but did they point out the fact, okay, so you got Marquise, who's a two, if Allen Robinson's on the field. But you're throwing to Dede Westbrook in his second game. All the hype and the hulu about here's Dede Westbrook. When's he coming back?
He's playing. Didn't sound like you're buying it. You're pulling.
I'm not. You're right. Two games. Now, I was impressed with the fact they targeted him 10 times and he caught six yesterday. Kind of like what I'm seeing there. But all of a sudden, we're making Dede Westbrook into the savior in his second game.
He's showing big time potential, but it's not there as a go-to guy yet.
No, and you're throwing to Keelan Cole. People go, well, Keelan Cole. I mean, I saw at least a glimmer of aggravation in Calais Campbell's eyes as Keelan came back to the sideline yesterday after having dropped that ball, right? The one down the the one going that way in front of the press box.
Was he had the one where that he short arm coming across the middle too? That was big, later in the game.
It was the deep ball that he missed. I saw that, and so he's throwing to Keelan Cole. People go, well, Keelan Cole, well, Kentucky Wesleyan folks, undrafted, and Jadon Mickens, for all the things that he brings, was undrafted last year and on the Raiders practice squad. So look who he's throwing to.
Right.
So you're asking him to be this stalwart pocket passer throwing to that.
Well, and
are you kidding?
You mentioned three sacks. I've got to say he has seven or eight if he doesn't have escape ability.
Oh, without a doubt.
And the hits that he took. And as we say all this, it sounds like we're apologizing and trying to ignore the interception.
I'm not apologizing for anything. I'm asking people if they can see.
The interception at the end of the game was what happens too often for the guy.
Got it.
And that's what makes it long term, where you've got to look at it and say, is he going to get through that? What's he going to be? But in the context of yesterday's game, with what he was dealing with, an unbelievable amount of adversity overcome, unbelievable toughness, and again, had a chance to be. You thought Calais was going to be the storybook for a while. When Blake went over for the 17-yarder, you thought, okay, this is going to be finally Blake Bortles' game to walk off helmet in one hand, girl in the arm in the other. It's going to be that day. But
I'm just not letting the interception be the defining moment.
Right.
I know it will be for some people, but I'm saying you're short-sighted if that's all you see.
No, and if you're asking why I get emails from
Tyrann
parents.
Matthew, by the way, is a terrific safety, and he's little, and he was hiding. I was standing behind the play. It was coming this way across my face. I was standing right there. He couldn't see it.
They made a great play.
Made a great play. But they're allowed to do that.
In the body of work,
I get
too
it.
Many guys make that great play against
I get it.
Blake
and
at
he shouldn't
moment.
Have thrown it. He should have been overly cautious with it, but if that's the only thing, if I could see, show you the Twitter, and I show you saw it too.
Sure.
Bortles is trash. What?
Right.
Did you not see what he was doing and what he was doing it with an offensive line that wasn't creating any space
right.
in the running game and didn't do a great job of protecting him yesterday? He
with a less mobile, less tough quarterback yesterday, that game's not close.
Yeah, not even close. All right, Ashlyn, what else you got?
Big thing number three, the pressure on this number one defense. We saw yesterday with a struggling offense how this team might be relying too much on the defense, almost to the point where they cannot handle it, guys. They played well enough. John and I talked about this in zone blitz. The defense played well enough to win that game yesterday.
I thought absolutely they did, Brian. I mean, look, you're not going to have defenses 16 weeks in a row give up 180 yards, 150 yards, 12 yards in the second half. The defense's job in the NFL, there are going to be back and forth games because the other team is too talented not to score points sometimes. Fourth quarter of that game, the defense gets a sack fumble for a touchdown. Later in the fourth quarter, it gets an interception where it gives you the ball at the 40-yard line with less than 4 minutes to go. The game's tied. That is a game-winning play.
I have to admit that I was standing there in the fourth quarter waiting for the sack strip fumble touchdown.
And amazingly enough, they did it.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Just, well, okay, time's running out, guys.
I was getting some nachos, but but good for you to be on point. Nachos were good.
I'm not even going back there. I'm not even going back there. I just want to make the point that they have leaned on the defense. Defense doesn't seem to mind it.
Right.
But at some point, they've got to come through because you know what's happening. Extra defensive lineman in the box, extra mm-hmm. defender in the box the rest of the way. With an offensive line, and if they don't have Jeremy Parnell back,
right.
doesn't have its power road grading right tackle, although I would think that he would be back sometime soon.
Sure.
Right? And you're still not throwing to Allen Robinson.
Right.
So Blake Bortles got to figure this out.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to find, Ashlyn and I talked about it on Zone Blitz as well. I don't think you're going to find this mystical, magical answer that you're looking for offensively. Well, what's the answer? I keep getting asked. I don't think there's an answer that's going to turn this into a thriving offense at this point. I think what you're going to have are games like yesterday where they found a way rather than an answer. And
so you're
leaning
on the defense.
Well, yeah.
Entirely. I mean,
as a Ozone reader last week said, the defense is this team's Tom Brady. If this team is going to win, it has to make the plays it did yesterday. And it made enough plays yesterday. At the end, it didn't go their way because the offense was too deficient at the end.
All right. We'll take one more 60-second timeout. When we return, Ozone Snapshot and the preview of tonight's big all-access over at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Back in 60 seconds, Jags Drive Time in Afternoon Drive on Monday. Back in the Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the player.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
All right, the makings of a nice afternoon in North Florida. Jaguars 7-4, which doesn't feel quite as nice as you'd like it to, but they're still in a very, to stay with the same theme now, nice position in a first-place tie in the AFC South. Was your inbox nice?
It was what it's supposed to be. it was frustrated. There's a lot of anger over the offense. There's a lot of anger over offensive coordinator, because that's always what it's going to be when, after a loss, the offense doesn't play well. A lot of anger over Blake. A lot of, you know, but that's what the inbox is supposed to be in November when you're contending. Losing stinks.
All right, let's get to it. Ashlyn's got ozone snapshot with the emphasis on O and not A.
Right, we're over that.
Are you? Are you sure you're over that?
I'm not. John is, though. I know he is.
Well, we may need a new feature. Well, hit us with it. What you got?
Number one, Timothy from Jacksonville. John, all being said, a good quarterback, not a great one, wins the game yesterday.
See, I don't agree with that one. I agree that there are better quarterbacks in the NFL than Blake Bortles, obviously. Within the context of yesterday's game, you know, I covered Peyton Manning for a long time. And there was a point in one of the years that I covered him where they were down Reggie Wayne. They were down Dallas Clark. They didn't have those guys. The offensive line was beat up. And every game was an offensive struggle. Now, obviously, Peyton did it one way, which was by his arm and willing. But it was a struggle year. It was the year the Jaguars almost wound up by pulling out the division in 2010, as a matter of fact.
Right.
The offense struggled because what was around him wasn't good enough that year. And I really think that that is as big a factor of what's going on offensively right now. They are down Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. They're down two offensive linemen. And the running game is struggling mightily. I don't know how much more. Now, the great ones, obviously, if Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers on this team, we're having different conversations because it's a different team. But just a little bit of I don't know. I just can't pin this one yesterday all on Blake.
I can't either, and I don't know how people do when you watch what he did yesterday, the hits that he took. And again, I see it from sideline level, from field level. He took some big-time hits.
And believe it or not, Brian, what goes on the field matters.
Absolutely.
I don't know
if,
you know. Yeah. As part of this equation.
And the touchdown runs that he had that carried him back. And I get it. In the heat of the moment, the interception is the defining moment. But to me, the minute that Marquise dropped the pass, I said, this one, it's likely they lose this one.
Well, here's the thing about the first touchdown, Brian.
You know, because I knew they were going to have to punt and that they had Pat Peterson back there just to finish that thought.
Right,
and they had a long field goal kicker. It just felt to that moment like
it was key.
This one is out of bounds.
On first and goal from the 10 in the third quarter, they're down 16-3. And here's what Blake's facing. I had no idea what play they should call to get in the end zone because they're not running the ball. You don't really feel like there are primetime go-to receivers right there.
Right.
The reason they got in was because Blake scrapped, clawed, and finally scored. They got the break on the fumble recovery, but it was a messy drive. But
by the way, he took a big hit on that fumble recovery too.
I don't know if without his escapability and mobility – that they score there.
No.
And I'm not sure that, you know, Joe Ted, average number 13 quarterback in the NFL, gets a touchdown from first and goal in the 10 there.
Well, Ashley, what was that guy's name?
Ted?
Joe Ted.
No, who sent the question?
Oh, Timothy from Jacksonville.
So, Timothy, I would amend
it. That's Joe Ted's cousin. That's who that is.
I would amend it. I would say a Allen Robinson, right?
Right.
If you have Allen Robinson yesterday who makes that catch coming over the middle,
you
win the game.
Sure.
So if you can say that about the receiver, you could probably say that about if you had the right tackle, if you had the road grading right tackle, you know, maybe you run the ball better. It's not all on Bortles. It had to be spread out. There were too many situations yesterday that he couldn't control. And other than the one interception, the two touchdowns, which to me overcome that, and the throw that he made standing in the pocket to Marquise overcomes that, the interception is down the line.
Agreed.
What else?
What else? Number two, Dakota from South Dakota. Zone, the defense.
That's too convenient, isn't it?
Right? I don't even know if I believe that. Moving on. Zone, the defense can only do so much. This is still a playoff caliber team, but it needs little more production offensively to win, especially against another playoff caliber team.
Yeah, I mean, it's so clear. And we talked for the show. I had trouble finding storylines from Sunday because to me, the storylines were pretty much the same as they've been for the last two or three weeks. Tight game, defense made, you know, yeoman's plays to keep them in it, to get them ahead. Defense clearly the best unit on the field, and the offensive struggles are almost too much to overcome. That was the case against Los Angeles and Cleveland. Well, on Sunday, the difference was they were too much to overcome.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have any doubt that over the next five games, four of them are probably going to be the same story. We're sitting here where that was close. The offense struggled. The defense made a play. it's going to depend on sort of how it goes at
the
end.
Marquise catch that ball? Does Keelan Cole catch that ball?
So, you know, yes, the defense is going to need phenomenal play. But the good news for Jaguars fans is the defense has 11 starters. 6-7 of them are capable of a phenomenal play. So you're still in this thing. Just realize that if you're going to win, you're going to win the way you did against Cleveland and San Diego.
And by the way, yesterday was the first significant hit that defense has taken all season from an injury perspective.
Yep.
When Telvin led. Now, he came back in the game at the end of the second quarter, but he didn't return in the second half. And they've been remarkably healthy.
An incredible stat. Not a single defensive starter has missed a start.
And obviously that's going to be the focus this week. Will Telvin be able to get through the concussion protocol and return to action next week against the Colts? Anything else, young lady?
Yes, third and final, Edward from L.A. John, it felt like the Jags missed the reliability of Allen Hurns the past few games. Is he more important to this offense than we thought?
Yeah, well, and because right now, Blake needs something he can trust.
Something he can count on.
And it wasn't as if Allen Hurns was getting 13 for 140, but in the last couple of games before the injury, he was getting 6 for 65. And there were times on third down where you could tell Blake made the throw and Allen would reach behind him. Sometimes he had to do that, but other times, good pass. But he was reliable, making the play 5 out of 6, with 4 of those 6 going for 8 yards on 2nd and 7. That's what they miss right now.
They're going to have him for the Seahawks game. I don't know whether he'll be back or not, but to have a guy like that who can get open. He's a scrapper. He finds his way into those seams and gets open. And as you mentioned, Bortles for the first time has got, how do I say this? Last year, 2 years ago, he had some things that he could do.
Right.
You got Robinson and Hurns, right?
Right.
Neither one of them are on the field right now.
Right. And you remember, A-Rob and Hurns are the guys that he's thrown more to than anybody else. And even Marquise, I would put 3. But the trust factor that he has with A-Rob and Hurns built up over muscle memory, doesn't have it right now.
All right. Jags 7-4, still in great shape. Now they have to go take care of business at home. 3 in a row here.
Margin for error is nil, but that's how it's supposed to be.
And that's what makes it fun.
Yep.
That's what creates the passion that has your 13-year-old son crying on Sunday night. He didn't understand why I liked that so much. I tried to explain to him this morning. Wasn't a bad thing, kid. I wanted to win.
Sounds like there's some deep-rooted...
No, I just know what it takes.
Deep-rooted stuff there, too.
Know what it takes to create some passion, big boy. So that'll do it for Jags Drive Time on a Monday afternoon. We're back on Friday with head coach Doug Marrone in the morning. That's an 8:30 start time right here on TuneIn Radio. Don't forget, Jags All Access tonight at Mellow Mushroom over in Avondale. Calais Campbell, kicker Josh Lambeau, and Jaguars Monday Radio on 1010. So that'll do it for John, for Ashlyn, for Max. Good night, everybody.